What's up, anime nerd? This is Anime Storytelling. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Good. So is this a good time for you to talk?
Yeah, I'm free.
All right, cool. So just a quick welcome to everybody who's going to be listening. This is the Anime Storytelling Podcast. Special welcome to our first-time listeners. This is the podcast where we discuss how anime music, and everything in between inspires us to become better storytellers. So I'm here today for a special collab episode with none other than Anime Nerd. You want to introduce yourself real quick?
Hey guys, I'm Anime Nerd. Glad to be on there with you. Ready to talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, I'm always down for a good conversation, good topic about anime. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. So what I really wanted to discuss in this episode today is really something that you were actually talking about last week, in how anime and manga artists have been receiving threatening messages, death threats from certain anime fans who get really upset about the storyline and plot line. You know, maybe it twists in a way that they don't like and it really gets them triggered. And so they send really threatening messages to the artists as if what these artists have written is worthy of death. Did you want to talk real quick about what you dove into on your episode last week, just so I can give my fans a quick synopsis of what you were on?
Okay, yeah, sure. So last week on my podcast, I was talking about, you know, authors receiving death threats because of people who don't agree necessarily on what the author is going. And to me, I feel like they need to stop that because, one, that's not their story. That's something I said. Two is, you know, this author worked his hardest to print, you know, produce good content for us to enjoy. And I'm pretty sure the last thing he wants is his life or his family life in danger just because you feel like that story or that person feel like that story shouldn't go that way. So I pretty much dove into that and how I feel like we need to stop hurting, you know, trying to threat the people that producing our manga and anime, and, you know, just deal with it, roll with a punch. If you don't like it, you know, create your own, produce your own content. That's what I do sometimes. So, you know.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of folks don't even know how much time and effort is spent just to, not just to get a manga produced into an anime, but just having anybody even listen to their idea. Like before an anime can become an anime or before a manga can even become a manga, it has to go through a set of editors who have to first agree with your idea for the story.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to push through all that and then slave away for a number of episodes, which can range from 6 episodes to what, like 1,000 episodes if you watch one.
Yeah.
Of them. All that and not considering what the artist has to deal with and having this selfish, I don't know, sense of pride. Like, we sometimes get so hooked onto a story or a series that we get this feeling that it's ours, that the story belongs to us. And while the memory of watching or reading those stories, those memories belong to us, the story itself is really belongs to the entire community. But it belonged to the artist first.
Definitely agree on that one. Yeah, I feel like I understand because that was like me when I watched Naruto or reading Naruto back in the days. It's like I was so immense with Naruto that some parts of Naruto, I have to admit, I didn't agree on it. But I didn't get, I got upset, but it wasn't to the point where, you know, I want to tell the author that he's wrong and he need to keep it that way. Because, you know, for instance, an example I want to use is people got mad that Naruto and Hinata got together instead of, you know, Naruto and Sakura. And to me, I feel like he actually did went correctly with it. Because to me, I feel like Naruto should be with somebody who wanted him since day one and been there since day one compared to someone who was only focusing on one person and didn't really get a time to notice him and notice his shine. And only truly notice him when, you know, when he finally got, you know, on the come up. And to me, I feel like that scenario, when people got mad with sending death threats, I'm like, well, you guys need to think about it, though. Don't you want somebody, like, say you was poor and then you come up, you knew someone who came up with you, you want to be with that person compared to someone who don't even know your struggle story, but see that you're rich and famous, you know? So I thought it was crazy that people actually sent him death threats because they didn't like the outcome of Naruto. So, but yeah.
Absolutely. All over relationship issues. And I'm actually really glad you brought that up with Naruto, because there's another anime out there in which the producers were receiving death threats for a similar issue. And that anime is Darling in the Franxx.
Oh, yeah. Now, I just watched that show. So, yeah, let's go.
Okay. Well, let's dive right in, man. So, especially with episode 14, in which Hiro was pursuing Zero Two, and Ichigo, who had been in love with Hiro for a while since they were kids. Of course, she was jealous of Zero Two, and she was worried about Hiro getting hurt while piloting a Franxx with Zero Two. So she does her best to keep Hiro and Zero Two away from each other, to the point where, if I recall, she actually handcuffed him to a hospital bed after he was injured so that he wouldn't get away and try to be with Zero Two again. And people freaked out, and they were sending death threats to the producer of Darling in the Franxx. Actually, a website that covered it really well is goboiano.com. Mm-hmm. And for all of the listeners, that's spelled GOBOIANO.com. And they were just going through all the tweets. Everybody on Twitter who was just making really violent memes about Ichigo, taking a picture of Zero Two, who originally had a spoon in her hand and turned it into a gun, and telling her to say, ah, because, you know, it's like, okay, well, we're going to kill Ichigo because we don't like how this turned out, or whatever. And there was, the audience was split. It was split in half. And I will say, this is one thing that can tell you that a story is doing a good job with the drama. Great stories have the ability to polarize people sometimes, because after this episode, the audience was split in half. And you can tell by the Twitter feeds, they were split in the half where people were just absolutely upset about what Ichigo did and wanted to send death threats to the producer.
Yeah.
And then there was the other half of people who were saying, come on, guys, this makes sense. Ichigo has known Hiro since childhood, so for her to be that drastic and go that crazy makes sense. Plus, they're teenagers going crazy with drama, and this adds drama to the story itself. Yeah. And I must admit that when it came to this situation, I was mad at Ichigo myself, but I was not sending death threats because I understood one of the things that makes a story so gripping and engaging is when something happens that splits the audience in half. It polarizes people, and that's what happened. Now, do the producer deserve death threats for that? No. But the fact that it was able to split the audience like that, I think that shows a really great storytelling tactic.
Yeah, right, I agree with you on that one. Because when that happened, I'm like, yo, I do not like her. I don't know what's her deal. Like, I understand, you know.
Right.
She kind of, you know, Hiro got all injured and Zero Two. But, you know, she didn't have to stop him from seeing. You know, it's a lot. It's just a lot that was going on in that series.
Sure.
When I first saw it, I was mad. I was like you. I was like, why? Why you even do that, you know? But also, I was still kind of surprised, too, that people were sending death threats. I'm like, okay, you guys got to chill. I don't know majority where these viewers are coming from. I don't want to say it's just us Americans that's doing that, because sometimes I know we can be kind of spoiled and entitled and want our way sometimes. But sure. I just feel like, you know, I want to know if other people in Japan and other people around the other countries are doing that, or if it's just us, because I think it's crazy that we're doing this to these people who honestly probably put out their manga and their artists for their country, and then it just got popular and brought it over to us, and we end up enjoying it. But, you know, I feel like it's crazy. I don't want us to hurt our chances in the future where they don't want to send content to America or wherever these death threats are coming from. And, you know, they don't want to produce anything else because they don't want their family life to be in danger and stuff. It's kind of sad that we living in the world that people feel like death threats are okay and putting people's lives in danger is fine and normal, you know?
Absolutely. And that's actually a really good question you just brought up. Is it just happening in America? Now, based on what I've seen, I've only seen angry tweets in English. So I don't know if there are Japanese fans out there or maybe fans in South Korea or China or Canada or the UK who have been doing the same thing. I mean, obviously, people speak English in Canada and the UK as well. So you might not be able to tell the difference with between us, Canada, and the UK. But I'm actually not sure if there were Japanese fans who were sending death threats as well. That's a good question.
I mean, from my experience, I mean, I would say I'm pretty sure there are some, but when I lived in Japan, Japanese act totally different from how us American act. They're much more, how should I say it? I think they think of others before they think of themselves. I'm pretty sure you have that radical fan that kind of do, you know, will probably send death threats and stuff like that, but not to the point as I feel like how we would, because we're more outspoken with our right. compared to how they are. So
sure, that's cool you were in Japan, man. How long did you live there?
For about close to 2 years. I'm in the military, so it's like I travel, so when I got the opportunity to live there, you know, I took it and I ran with it. And plus, that's what kind of got me into starting my podcast was, you know, it's kind of cool that I live in Japan. I wanted, you know, talk about anime, and I've seen a lot of animes, and a lot of stuff was different, and how anime is perceived in Japan compared to America. It's pretty good. So
awesome. Because I was actually in Japan myself, but I was only there for a month, and I spent most of the time studying business management. But I did see what you were talking about, where the Japanese have more of a tendency to care about people around them and make sure everyone else around them is taken care of before themselves. Like, for example, we do this here sometimes, but I know in Japan it's considered a custom where when you're eating with your family and you're the one serving, you always serve everyone else before you serve yourself, especially in business meetings. If you serve yourself first in Japan before you serve somebody else, like if you pour your drink first, like if there's a big bottle of beer and you pour your drink first, that's considered very rude in Japan.
Yeah, very true. It's crazy. It's like, it's just the simple things. Like when I rode on the train in Japan, you talking on the phone and you having loud music is rude, you know?
Right.
A lot of things, it's crazy. It's rude. You know, like also when I first got there, they were like, oh, you know, slurping really loud is okay, that's a compliment, but tipping is bad.
Right.
Where in America, tipping, you're supposed to tip, and slurping is like you have no table manners. So it's like,
right.
It's a flip-flop, you know?
And that's actually another great aspect of storytelling that I'd like the listeners to think about. When you go to a different different culture, a different country, the story of how to conduct yourself changes completely. Because you brought up some really good differences about Japan and the U.S. where, you know, if you slurp your noodles in Japan, that means you like it, so it's a good thing. But if you leave your chopsticks sticking up after you leave, that's considered an insult.
Yeah,
you know,
very true. I can't believe meanwhile people don't even think about that. Yeah, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just even caring more about the environment where. It's very rare that you catch people in Japan walking and eating.
Yeah.
Because people really hate littering. They hate littering over there, you know?
Yeah, they're very true. Because when I was there, it's like us being American, we're so accustomed to eating and finding a trash can. And I eat and I'm trying to find a trash can. There's no trash can in sight. And then I realized, like, okay. Right. Technically, they don't walk around and eat their food. They might have drinks in their hands, but they don't really walk and eat because I guess they do. It's kind of news to me that they do find it disrespectful. And if we do have any Japanese listener, forgive me. I did not know. But, you know. So like that, like I said, that kind of makes sense now on why it's so hard to find a trash can. And it's crazy how clean Japan is. And they barely have trash can where we have a whole bunch of trash can everywhere, but for some reason, we don't know how to find the, you know, our junk into the trash can. It's all over the floor, in the sewers, in the grass. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Absolutely. Like, I had a friend ask me about what Shibuya looked like while I was there. And what I said was, picture New York City without all the garbage.
That is...
No disrespect to New Yorkers.
Yeah, none.
But you see the garbage bags all around New York, and it's just like, wow, there's a lot of trash around here.
And if anything, Shibuya is as busy. Tokyo, in general, is as busy as New York.
Yeah.
So, but cleaner. 10 times cleaner, definitely. So, man, you're right about that, though. I never really pictured it that way, how, like, Shibuya is really clean compared to how New York have the trash cans and so all over in the trash bag. Man, really put it in perspective of, like, how different, you know, everybody culture is and how certain things happen in certain areas.
No doubt, man. And I think that's really the ultimate question that I want to ask with this podcast episode, and to ask you and the listeners almost rhetorically, is a difference in culture between American culture and Japanese culture, is that the big deciding factor in which fans think that it's okay, or whether it's okay or not okay, to send really hateful messages to the people who produce content for them?
Yeah, I think it is, because I feel like, you know, in America, whereas freedom of speech is, you know, that's what we believe in, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. And some people, they do take it literal. And I mean, I'm down for everybody's freedom of speech, but sometimes I feel like if your speech is threatening someone's life or putting somebody in danger, then, you know, I really don't feel like that should be really said or really need to be taken lightly, because, you know, anybody can perceive it any type of way, because that person can be actually serious. Now, granted, do I think these fans are serious about doing these stuff? I wouldn't think so, because they don't want the story to end. But we don't know how the author would think or how the author feels about, you know, death threats. And so they might think they're serious, because they might not have never been to America or whatever country. And they're like, man, they could be serious. They're really out here trying to haunt me. So then they got to hire a bodyguard. Then their stories might be lacking, because they're stressed out about death threats and watching over their backs and walking down alleys and stuff like that. So it just depends on, like you say, the different country you live in and how death threats, or not even just death threats, but how speech and freedom of speech is taken on each country. And so.
Yep. So that's going to be the big lesson for the listeners today. As we go about writing our stories or telling our stories, however we communicate them, let's consider other cultures and other ideas. And are there other ways to express ourselves based on what we see folks doing, who live in places that we don't live in, who see the world differently than we do? Fresh new perspectives are always good ways of telling better, more complete stories.
Sure.
So with that being said, Anime Nerd, thanks for speaking with me on this episode of the podcast.
No problem, man.
Let the listeners know, man, where can they find
you? So you guys can just find me on my podcast, Anime Nerd. I'm on every single listening podcast. I'm on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you know, wherever Anchor allowed me to play. That's where I'm at. So you guys can find me. I also have Instagram. Just type in Anime Nerd. You should see the logo that you see on my Anchor account on there. So then just follow me, and I'll follow right back. And if you have questions, respond or tag me and stuff, you know, I enjoy, you know, a little tag and laughing or anime that I might not see that you guys want me to see. Just tag me. I'm down.
All right. Once again, thanks a lot. And to all the listeners out there, thanks so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. We will see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.